Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always my host, Evan Sider. I'm here today to recap the latest Colts news for you guys here on a Tuesday evening. And we actually have a lot that's broken in the last 24 hours. And we're going to start off first with Deontay Foreman signing, which I found very intriguing myself. We're going to cover that in the first segment here. Then the second segment, we're going to go over the UDFA tradition for the Indianapolis Colts. They've had 20 straight years of an undrafted free agent making the 53-man roster. Will it be 21, though? Because one guy is making a lot of noise recently, an offensive player, and I think has a really good chance right now of making the 53-man spot. And I want to know, we're going to talk about more in the second segment, between the tight end four battle between Hale Hinchus and Ross Travis, because if Hale Hinchus makes it, that streak will extend to 21 years. But in our final segment, we're going to hit on the latest news of Jabal Sheard as well, as it's been officially reported today by Frank Reich. He did have a surgery on his knee. Sounds like it's a scope. Who knows if he's ready for the season opener, but it most likely is going to be a timetable where he's going to miss at least a couple weeks in the regular season. So we're going to hit on all that today and more on the latest episode of Locked On Colts. But first off, let's start with the Deontay Foreman signing. The Colts officially claimed Deontay Foreman off waivers. He was a third-round pick, 89th overall by the Houston Texans in 2017. During Foreman's rookie year, he tore his Achilles in the final game, and he missed almost most of his second season. He came back. Did not put up that great of numbers for Houston after his Achilles injury. On December 23rd against the Philadelphia Eagles, he had 7 carries for negative 1 yards. He also had a 1 touchdown, 2 catches for 28 yards. Also fumbled though as well. And in the playoffs against the Colts, he only had 1 carry for 3 yards. So he definitely was rusty coming back from his Achilles last year. Before that though, Deontay Foreman was a Heisman candidate at Texas. He ran for over 2,000 yards, over 350 carries though as well. So there's a lot of tread on the tires with Deontay Foreman already. That's probably why the Colts were interested, though, because he's not going to be a primary back, obviously. Marlon Mack aboard. You have Nyheim Hines as well. Jonathan Williams and Jordan Wilkins are also holding their own. So Deontay Foreman, there's not a secured spot for him to make this team, but I found the waiver claim very interesting because Foreman was released by the Houston Texans, not because of his production or his injury, but because of his work ethic, according to multiple reports out of Houston. Bill O'Brien wasn't really much of a fan of Deontay Foreman, and it really showed in media interviews who watched the Houston Texans that Foreman really wasn't a guy really praised much by head coach Bill O'Brien over there. And it's an interesting opportunity because Tom Rathman, the Colts running back coach, is a no-nonsense type of guy. I've seen it multiple times in practice throughout training camp so far when I'm credentialed up there. If you're not doing something right, he's going to lay into you. And if Deontay Foreman's a lazy guy, that's not going to fly in the locker room. That's not going to fly long-term. And I could easily see him being cut within the next few weeks if that happens. But I think Tom Rathman is a great example of what could be for Deontay Foreman because he's needed a change of scenery. He's a guy who has all the talent in the world, but it's work ethic. It's about drive and desire. And if he can actually get that back on track, I'm really curious to see that RB4 battle. I think the first three guys here are pretty much slotted in. I think Jordan Wilkins is pretty much a safe bet to make the roster because he can play special teams. He proved that last year. But Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins, but that RB4 spot will probably decide here over the next few weeks of preseason, which will be between Jonathan Williams and Deontay Foreman. But Deontay Foreman, there's an interesting example here of not only production over talent with Deontay Foreman, but I think another interesting case that should be talked about more is his Achilles injury, like I mentioned. As Evan Silva established the run, pointing out over the last few weeks, no running back has ever come back fully from a torn Achilles, and really quickly after that, they flamed out. And the latest example of that was Mekhi Lashore with the Detroit Lions. He tore his Achilles his rookie year in 2011 during minicamp. He missed his entire rookie campaign, came back in 2012, rushed for over 800 yards and 9 touchdowns, but after that, in 2013, he quickly flamed out, was cut after a few weeks in the regular season. So it will be curious to see if Deontay Foreman can really buck that trend. He's looked good on workout videos that I've watched, but I think for him, he's coming into a situation where he's going to be asked maybe to touch the ball 5 times per game, if that. He's going to be a bruiser guy near the end zone, I'd imagine. Maybe like the Robert Turbin we saw of 2017, that takes some of those splits away, but I really would be shocked if there's much of a role for Deontay Foreman. I think it's more of Chris Bauer probably liked Foreman a lot in the pre-draft process. Wants to see what he has here. He's an upgrade over Keith Forde they waived, who was actually claimed by the Green Bay Packers today as they cut a former Indiana Hoosier off to tackle Jason Spriggs. I think for a guy like Deontay Foreman, this is just an interesting case study to see if this is going to pay off for him. If the locker room can pay off for him, he's a guy who has quote-unquote bad work ethic. If that can be changed around Tom Rathman, changed around Chris Bauer, Frank Reich in that system, then I think it's going to be a coup for them to get Deontay Foreman, a top 100 pick 2 years ago. But the injury with him is what I'm more interested about. If he can bounce back from that torn Achilles, where history has shown pretty clearly that running backs are never the same following a torn Achilles injury. So if Foreman can regain some of that, maybe get 80% of what Deontay Foreman was at the University of Texas, maybe he can stick around. But I think right now, we shouldn't peg in Deontay Foreman as making the 53-man roster. I think right now we should peg Jonathan Williams as that fourth running back over Deontay Foreman until proven otherwise. Deontay Foreman reportedly got a lot of snaps actually at practice today, his first practice. He arrived at 1 a.m. this morning in Indianapolis time, and he had immediately got reps there. He's number 40 if you were at practice today. That's his number right now for preseason. And he reportedly did well in his limited time there. But I want to see more of it. I want to see if he can actually be a legit guy in the stable of running backs, if he can actually be out Jonathan Williams, who Chris Bauer reportedly loves. He saw him in New Orleans. He did well in preseason. He's done well in OTAs as well. Flashed a couple times in training camp too. So Jonathan Williams is going to be a very hard beat for Deontay Foreman. And if Foreman doesn't stick in Indianapolis, I really wonder what his future is going to be, because as we pointed out, bad work ethic plus an injury like that probably isn't good for your long-term future. But I think Deontay Foreman has a really good opportunity to bounce back and learn from a guy like Tom Rathman and in this Indianapolis system, if he can completely buy into that. That's the big thing with Deontay Foreman, is buying in, is showing that he's actually capable and he's 100%. So I'm really curious to see how that works out with Deontay Foreman. Overall for him though, I mean, you look at his numbers from his rookie year before he got injured, and for him, he was a legit number two guy to Lamar Miller at the time, his rookie season. In 10 games, he rushed for 327 yards and two touchdowns, averaged 4.2 yards per carry. So that makes you wonder if he can regain some of that form, then he could be that kind of player that can help spell Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack. He at least offers a different element there. If you didn't know, actually, Deontay Foreman ran a quicker 40 time than Marlon Mack during the combine, which I found really interesting because Foreman's about 20 pounds heavier. So he's a physical freak. He's a specimen, but I want to see more out of Deontay Foreman. The injury is what concerns me the most with him. And if you didn't know, Deontay Foreman actually has had issues with fumbles before. He has 3 career fumbles and 2 career touchdowns rushing the ball. So that's not a good sign either. I want to see if he has an issue with fumbling as well. There's no way he's going to make, as Tom Rathman said on multiple occasions, the worst pet peeve of his is guys fumbling the ball away. And that Marlon Mack's getting cured of that more and more as he's under Rathman's tutelage. But if Foreman is doing that, he's not going to stick long, because Williams, Hines, and Wilkins have all proven that they can actually at least hold on to the ball, and they don't have bad work ethic habits that Foreman has possessed, at least in Houston. But if that can be cured in Indianapolis, I think it's a great signing for them. Why not just try and see what happens there? A one-year flyer on Deontay Foreman. If he hits, good job. If he doesn't, it's not going to bother you, because you can easily cut him after the end of the preseason. And if Jonathan Williams rightfully beats him out, this really shouldn't be much of a top, because Williams will have then proven that he is a much better running back than Deontay Foreman. So not really much else to cover on Deontay Foreman here. I think for him mostly, it's about what's it going to be? Is it going to be what kind of role? Are you going to buy in? Are you going to succeed? That's the big thing. I think this is a wake-up call for Deontay Foreman. He was a very highly regarded prospect at Texas. So if he can hit, then this is a great thing for the Indianapolis Colts. But until then, I'm very much on the fence and see what happens there, because Foreman, the numbers prove themselves already. Like I've said, Evan Silva pointed out, established a run. He was on the podcast in the spring that running backs that have Achilles injuries never come back to be the same. So this is just, I think, a fly on the wall here. I think Ballard just wants to get a look at one of the guys he liked in the 2017 draft a little bit more. If he sticks, that's great. If not, you move on. So before we go on to our next segment, we're going to be talking more about Hale Hinchus versus Ross Travis for that number 4 spot. And if Hale Hinchus can continue that 20-year tradition, extend it to 21 years for the Indianapolis Colts, of an undrafted free agent making the 53-man roster. I want to tell you guys really quickly about today's sponsor, which is Five Star Painting. Five Star Painting is looking for new owners to join their growing company. Could this be the perfect opportunity for you? Are you driven? Do you have the heartbeat of an entrepreneur? If you're interested in running your own business, text 5-STAR to 870-000 right now to learn more. Choosing to start your business with 5-STAR Painting means setting yourself up for success by surrounding yourself with the best in the business and the best at business. With 5-STAR Painting, you'll be your own boss, pick your own territory, set your own hours, and live a better quality of life running a business that you can be proud of. You'll have access to the best resource to help you scale back your landscape business to meet your personal and professional goals, and you'll go home every day with the satisfaction of helping your customers enhance and maintain their beauty of their homes. If you haven't already, go on to 5star.com, text 5-STAR as well, 87000, to learn more about how a 5-STAR painting franchise can help you get to where you want to go faster than going alone. Alrighty guys, let's go on to our next segment here, talking more about Hale Hinchus, and I've been really impressed by him so far. I think with Hale Hinchus, he has a very good chance of making the 53-man roster, because we've seen already in one-on-ones and 7-on-7 action, he's more than holding his own. He's beating starting defensive backs for the Colts consistently in one-on-one action. And I found it very curious that at Monday's practice, Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts, said a comparison between him and Jack Doyle, who is also an undrafted free agent at Western Kentucky, Indiana local product. That's a fair comparison, which I found really surprising, a little bit eye-opening too, because that means he's really catching the eyes of the coaching staff there. If he could be a Jack Doyle clone, maybe not put as much expectation on Hale Hinches as we saw Jack Doyle, but if he can be at least like a light version of Jack Doyle, I think that's a very good sign for him to make the roster. He can be maybe a player who fills that Ryan Hewitt role last year, being like a fullback, H-back type. He can also be a third, fourth tight end. I think he offers more versatility than Ross Travis does, which I want to get into as well, because Ross Travis has looked a little rusty so far following his ACL injury. He's also now battling a hamstring injury, but definitely when I've seen Ross Travis and Hale Hinches out there together, Hinches is popping more often, which I found really surprising because Ross Travis is the better athlete by far, but Hinches seems to be the more technical route runner, seems to be a way better blocker, and he seems to be buying in more to his system there. I'm really curious to see what happens there because Hale Hinches is a player that could really be garnering a lot of attention later on this because Hinches didn't have the opportunity to really show at Alabama that he was a pass-catching tight end, because if you look at his stats from Alabama, it's easy to look and say he's not really a good pass catcher because 15 catches over his four-year career, 124 yards, 6 touchdowns, 6 over the last 2 years. But as you can see, he was really more utilized as a blocking tight end. Irv Smith garnered all the attention for Alabama. He went in the second round to Minnesota. Hale Hinches obviously went undrafted for the Colts, but it's very similar to maybe what Jack Doyle was at West Kentucky, because that's kind of similar production there. And you could envision a scenario where if Hale Hinches can prove to himself and to this coaching staff that he's more of a pass catcher and a versatile Swiss Army knife type of weapon at the tight end position, more so than Ross Travis, because he's a lot better blocker than Ross Travis is right now. So if he can prove in the preseason action that he's a legit, reliable safety blanket, so to say, at the tight end position, I think that he is well on his way to making the 53-man roster. And right now, I'd bet on him making over Ross Travis because, as I mentioned, he just offers more on the table. And I think Hinches has proven time and time again in one-on-one reps and in training camp so far through 11 days that he's an undrafted free agent everyone should be knowing by now. He is guarding the attention of a lot of coaches. Nick Sirianni, like I mentioned, name-dropped him earlier this week on Monday's practice. Frank Reich also talked about him, I believe, a couple weeks ago when training camp was officially starting. So Hinches is a player that everyone needs to keep an eye on here because if he breaks out on the scene in preseason, I think he's definitely keeping the tradition going of 21 straight years of an undrafted free agent making the roster. Because Hinches, I was there last week for practice, and on multiple occasions, he made some really wild catches, some one-handers. He even beat Darius Leonard to the corner of the end zone. That really caught my eye. I don't know if anyone else noticed that in the media, but on one rep, it was a bad throw from Chad Kelly, but Hinches beat Darius Leonard to the corner route in the end zone. And I just raised my eyebrows for a second. I'm like, this guy looks the part of a good route runner. He looks the part of a guy who is going to be a good pass catcher. And someone, if he provides the blocking that we saw at Alabama, which I think that's going to translate more immediately than a lot of people imagine. I think Hinches is a diamond in the rough. I really think he is. He could be a player down the line. Maybe not this year, of course, but 2 to 3 years, maybe even next year in 2020 if Jack Doyle leaves in free agency, where you could maybe slot him as a third tight end long term. You could maybe have Ebron, if you re-sign him, Malai Cox, and then Hale Hinches is your third guy right there, filling that third tight end role long term. I think that makes an awful lot of sense, but obviously there's been no preseason games played so far. We can't really get ahead of ourselves here with Hale Hinches, but from what we've seen so far in practice, I think it's definitely notable what we've seen out of him, and it's definitely not gone unnoticed. And with Hale Hinches, 15 career catches, don't just look at the stats here. Look at the production. Look at the tape. If you're at Westfield, go and watch training camp practices because Hale Hinches, you'll notice quickly in one-on-one drills and 7-on-7 and in team action, he's consistently winning his reps. And that's the biggest thing you need to do as an undrafted free agent. You need to prove yourself right away in training camp. You need to prove yourself. And that's exactly what he's doing. Hale Hinches is well on his way to make a 53-man roster. If I'm going to make a 53-man roster prediction, which will be coming out next week on the podcast, I do have Hinches slotted in over Ross Travis. I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing battles to watch for in preseason. Will Ross Travis recover from his hamstring injury? Will he show the explosiveness we saw last year in preseason action? Or will Hinches really take the spotlight? Will he be the one that gets the reliable catches? Will he be the one who's the safety blank for Chad Kelly or Phillip Walker in third string action? Because we're going to be seeing an awful lot of Hale Hinches in all these games. I think we'll, maybe not the first quarter, but I think the last three quarters of on Thursday against Buffalo, Hinches is going to play a lot. And then so on and so forth through the rest of the weeks that we see in preseason. Because I think out of any of the undrafted free agents, that's definitely Hale Hinches who has the best chance of making the roster. And that's definitely something to watch for with him. Because if he does break out, it's going to be really awesome to see. Because it's a great story if you follow him. I'm curious to hear, listeners, your thoughts on this situation with Hale Hinches and the undrafted free agent streak that we have going on. 2 decades for the Indianapolis Colts having an undrafted free agent make the roster. Will Hale Hinches be the 21st? Let me know if you're listening on Reddit, on Twitter, in your iTunes section. Leave a comment and review. Is Hillhand just going to make this roster? Because right now, I would definitely say he does, but preseason actually going to tell us an awful lot, not only about Henschus, but really every one of these backups fighting for a long-term spot on this roster. But before we go on to our next one here, closing out the show, talk about Jabal Sheard. We finally got an injury update from head coach Frank Reich about it, and it's going to mean an awful lot for three guys on the Colts defensive line who are all young. I want to tell you guys really quickly about two more sponsors of today's show, which are all part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to Locked On NFL. The new Locked On NFL is on fire. Last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows, with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. And I also want to tell you really quickly about Locked On Fantasy Football. I know I'm actually going to be in a fantasy draft this week. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer on Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else, then you are the same. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider if you haven't already subscribed. Alrighty, it's time to close out today's show with our final segment talking about Jabal Sheard and our injury update here we got from Frank Reich today. It's officially a surgery that Jabal Sheard had on his knee. They haven't officially said the details of it, but I'm assuming this is hypothetical here. It was a knee scope. It's what all the signs are pointing to, and I think it makes the most sense. And I think overall it's a big injury, of course, because Jabal Sheard is their best run-setting defensive end, and I think he's one of the more underrated Colts on the defense really in the past year or so. I think he's very criminally underrated. He really helps set the run game as far as the defense goes, and I'll be really curious to see what happens just over the next month or maybe even longer with Jabal Sheard being out. Al-Quadi Muhammad's been getting all the reps there. The coaching staff loves Al-Quadi Muhammad. He's, as far as effort goes in Matt Eberflus' defense, he always talks about getting 11 hats on the ball, and Al-Quadi Muhammad is a personification of that. You see him in reps and training camp so far. He's balls to the wall, always going 100% every single time he's out there, and that's a huge thing for Eberflus, and I think that they love AQM for that because he's always giving it his all. His effort's always there. And that's probably why right now he's ahead of players such as Ben Banigou and Kamoko Ture as far as taking over that opposite spot if Jabal Sheard was down for a long period of time, because he just seems to be a good run defender. And right now we can't say that about Ture and Banigou. Banigou hasn't had the reps. Ture has shown he's inconsistent in the run game. But he is flashing as far as pass repertoire and attack goes at the quarterback. But if you think about all the versatile aspects that Al-Quadi Muhammad brings to the defense, if it's a short-term injury at Jabal Sheard, I'm not worried, because you have these three guys in Muhammad, you have Ture, and you have Banigou. You can all rep in here, in and out, at the right defensive end spot. Muhammad can be a guy on first, second down. He takes the run reps. Then you can have maybe Ben Banigou slide in on third down, or Kamoka Ture if you want to have Ture and Houston on opposite ends of each other, which would be really, if Ture is flashing like he has a training camp so far, that could be a really deadly combination if you put it out there for a couple weeks. But overall, I just want to see how they respond without Jabal Sheard. Obviously, in game action, it's a lot different than training camp. In preseason, we're going to be seeing a little bit of that tomorrow. How will Al-Quadi Muhammad fare as the defensive end starter? And how will Ben Banigou or Kamoko Ture play? Banigou probably isn't going to play, but Ture probably will. So I want to see those two guys, especially against Buffalo on Thursday and throughout the preseason, because without Sheard out there for an unknown amount of time, it's going to have to be really on those two guys' shoulders to help carry the load, because Sheard is a missing piece to that rushing defense, like I mentioned. And without him, you really have to step up as far as the effort goes, and really putting a lot of pressure on the linebackers too if you don't have a good performance at the right defensive end spot. So Sheard and his knee is an interesting question as well, because it's a final year of his contract, $7.5 million, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2020. What will the Colts do if Sheard's knee is long-term just not going to be what it was? I could easily see the Colts just letting him go after this year, get a comp pick, and really play that game as far as developing Ben Banigou and Kamoko Ture as maybe those two guys your bookends long term. I think Banigou has a chance to really shine. We talked to Brett Yarris, his trainer, on the podcast called months ago, and he's really hyped me up as far as Banigou's rush potential and his rushing attack potential as far as sealing the edge there. And he showed it a little bit at TCU, even though he's more of an offside linebacker, but I really want to see how Banigou translates. And if he can actually hold his own in the spot and eventually take Jabal Sheard's spot. I know they're a little bit weight differential right now. I think Sheard's about 20 pounds heavier than Banigou. If Banigou can put on a little bit more on his frame, same goes for Ture. I think those two guys can easily handle the load. Al-Quadi Muhammad as well has the exact same frame pretty much as Jabal Sheard. So those three guys are definitely the most intriguing, the ones who I think will get the most reps and the most benefit from Shear being out. But unless they prove it on the field and if they're actually a detriment in the run defense department, I really believe this could be a big injury for the Colts defense. But I want to see how they respond because Sheard, he's viewed as the defensive leader, so to say. The front seven, you hear on Matt Eberflus when he spoke to the media today, he's a quiet leader. He's a guy who, when he's out there, you notice it because he's the last one in the film room. He's always teaching the young guys. Right now, he's a valuable presence. He's 30 years old. He's one of the oldest guys in the locker room, surprisingly. Just how young this team is, that's incredible to say. But Sheard has really taken on that veteran leadership role. And if he can have Teray and Banigu be sponges to him for the next year or so, I think they'd be more than comfortable letting him go within the next year, getting that comp pick. But in the meantime, I mean, I don't want to be too worried about this injury because Sheard has been a marathon, man. He's never been hurt. So I want to see just how he responds after this, Sheard personally, because he hasn't really had a knee injury like this before. If his step's a little bit slow when he comes back, then that has me a little bit worried because I think a healthy Jabal Sheard will go a long way to their Colts really reaching their maximum ceiling this year, which obviously is reaching holding the Lombardi Trophy in Miami in February and being the Super Bowl champions. I think Jabal Sheard is an underrated piece to that puzzle because if Justin Houston hits like I think he will for his contract, add in the deep rotation on defensive line they have around 8 or 9 guys that can rotate in as far as inside and outside goes. And that's nowadays, you need that in the modern day NFL where you have waves of bodies coming in and out. You need those fresh guys throughout the games, late in games especially, because that's when the run game wants to start going for offense. That's when you want to really start seeing a lot more aggressiveness out of the defense and a lot more energy out of them. And later in games, that's when you don't have a deep defensive line rotation, that's exactly what happens. You get decimated later in the games. But with the Colts, luckily, Chris Ballard has done a great job of adding in that defensive line depth. And you hope the Sheard injury doesn't really impact him that much, but he's one of the best underrated run-defending defensive ends in the NFL, in my opinion. And I think it's a big loss if it's a long-term injury. If he's out for, let's say, the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season, I think that's pretty big because I think Muhammad is a step down, of course, from Sheard. I think just without the reps right now, I think Banigu and Teray are a significant step down to Jabal Sheard as far as what he can provide in the defensive category as far as run stuffing goes. Pass rush is a different thing, but I think overall just first and second down, those are the big downs and obviously on defense, and you need to hold them to like a 3rd and 7, a 3rd and 6, like 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3. You have to avoid that for a defense because those are the easy pass you can get. You can easily get a first down if you're the offense there in today's NFL. Spread you out, go 4 wide, go 12 personnel, whatever you want to do. Find the opening in the seam and you'll get there for 3 or 4 yards in the cloud of dust. But with Sheard, his run-stuffing ability helps set the edge, helps you bounce back, have the running back cut back inside and meet the linebackers like Darius Leonard and Anthony Walker, Grover Stewart in the inside nose tackle. All those guys help are a benefactor from Jabal Sheard's run presence. And I think I'm really curious to see how Al-Qadim Muhammad handles that because it's going to be on his shoulders mostly. If this is a long-term injury, Al-Qadim Muhammad is going to take a big leap this year and be a consistent force on first and second down. And that's going to be big for this Colts defense. And how they respond with Jabal Sheard out, Frank Reich said he doesn't know how long it's going to be. He could easily see it maybe not even hampering Sheard that much at all. Maybe it's a week or two in the regular season. But if it's longer than that, I want to see how they respond because Al-Qadim Muhammad, Kamoko Teray, Ben Banigu are going to be the three guys, like I mentioned, getting the lion's share of the reps now. Jabal Sheard out. Banigu's been nursing a hamstring injury. Kamoko Teray was out earlier in training camp with a shoulder injury. But Al-Qadim Muhammad's been the consistent one. He's been out there almost every single practice so far. So I want to see how he handles himself this year because at least so far in training camp practice, the ones that I were at earlier in the week and also hearing reports from guys like Kevin Bowen, George Bremer, Jake Arthur, he's doing well from himself. And I think that's a big thing to watch for. If Muhammad can handle that and Teray and Banigu can really grow into their roles, not only in the next few weeks, but over this entire course of the season, I think that makes the injury less impactful. But in the short term, I'm very worried just because Sheard could be a guy, if he's not 100% healthy, it's going to be kind of a big deal when you don't have one of the best run-stuffing defensive ends in the NFL on your side, where you have an elite pass rusher on the other side and Justin Houston on the blind side, where you can really just have him worry about pinning his ears back and go getting the pass rusher. But without Sheard out there, I'm really curious to see just how Matt Eberflus and that defense responds, how they're going to counteract and adjust. Because if it's a long-term injury, I really want to see Muhammad Teray and Banigu get all three of those reps. And I really wouldn't be surprised if those three guys, first, second down, you see Muhammad. Second and third down, or third down, you probably see Banigu and Teray just alternating in and out. So I'm really curious to see that three-man rotation. If Sheard's out for a long period of time, I
I don't know where I'd land right now. If it's a long-term one as far as October, yeah, I'd get worried and hit the panic button slightly as far as the run defense goes. But if you are able to maybe keep Sheard out just for a couple weeks in the regular season, then it's not really much to worry about there. At least from the surface here, a knee scope probably shouldn't be that much of a worry. But we've seen from Kendall Langford before in the past, a guy who was a marathon man himself, once he had a knee injury when he was age 30, he never was the same again. He was quickly cut a year later by the Colts because his performance fell off a cliff after that knee injury. So how will Sheard respond to that? I really want to see it because he's an underrated piece to this defense and one that is vital to the Colts' maximum ceiling later on in the season. He's a guy who, in December and January, that's where he makes most of his noise because you saw it even last year in the playoffs, and you saw it in December. He was a game wrecker as far as first, second down goes. He was a consistent guy who was plugging up the holes, a guy who made him cut back to the inside and meet all those players like I mentioned earlier. So how will they respond? That's the big question with the Jabal Sheard injury, and how will Jabal Sheard himself respond? Because if he's able to get back to himself, it's not going to be a big deal. But if he falls off and this is really just the end of it for Sheard's prime, then yeah, this is a long-term thing that we should monitor because Sheard, him not really being the same anymore would be a domino effect where probably he's let go at the end of the year. You get a comp pick, let's say a fourth round comp pick for Jabal Sheard in 2021. And then you let probably Ben Bangu take over his spot in 2020 with Justin Houston still on the outside, with Kamoka Touré backing up Justin Houston there throughout the end of next season as well. But that's the end of today's show. Everyone, appreciate you listening in as always. We're going to be back tomorrow for our next episode, which features a mailbag. And I also want to let you guys know, before I let you go, our weekly schedule has been officially announced, which will be starting August 20th, with the week of August 20th, which will have Zach Hicks of Stampede Blue on Monday, George Bremer, the Herald Bulletin on Tuesday, Kevin Bowen of Kevin's Corner podcast on 107.5 The Fan. He's also the beat writer for the Colts on 107.5 The Fan. He's on every other Wednesday. We're also working on a special guest for the other Wednesdays too. Cody Felger of the Cody Felger podcast will be on Wednesdays and Fridays. And we're also going to have Jake Arthur of Colts.com on Thursdays as well. And also on Fridays, we're going to have a special crossover edition. You'll hear it on Thursday this week when I have Joe Marino of Locked On Bills on to really start doing our weekly crossover editions, which I'm super excited about. So look forward to that. We're also going to do a weekly mailbag too. So really from now until January, February, hopefully the first week of February, Locked On Colts is going to be with you guys 5 to 6 times a week, bringing you the best Colts coverage possible. So thanks again, everyone, for listening on today's podcast. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow for our mailbag edition.